So we've heard elsewhere in the program today about the influence of a major Islamist political party if there's a change of government in Egypt. Similar questions face Tunisia, and those questions are more immediate since the government has already changed. NPR's Eric Westerveld reports on a formerly outlawed Islamist movement.
In Tunis, the protests haven't so much as ended. They've just moved inside the halls of power. In the second floor corridor at the Ministry of Justice, a crowd of angry women demands answers about their imprisoned sons, brothers, and husbands, all members of Islamist groups. Two slightly confused-looking young soldiers with automatic rifles push back, but the women stand their ground. The fragile interim government has declared an amnesty for political prisoners. But more than 2 weeks after dictator Zayn al-Abidine Ben Ali fled, these women say they've yet to hear anything about the fate of their loved ones. Hawar Zahira says her 24-year-old son was jailed 2 years ago for expressing Islamist sympathies. I want my son to be freed, freed from the prison. He's done nothing, she says. He was an engineering student. They took him in, calling him a terrorist, an enemy of the state, because he prayed at the mosque every day. Tunisia has fiercely guarded its secular political nature since independence from France. Like Turkey's founder Kemal Atatürk, Tunisia's first post-colonial president, Habib Bourguiba, saw political Islam as a threat to the state. Bourguiba banned Muslim headscarves in public buildings and introduced women's rights laws that were among the most progressive in the Muslim world. After ousting Bourguiba in a bloodless coup, Ben Ali at first allowed Islamists to run for office in 1989 elections. But that all changed after they won 17% of the vote, probably more because by all accounts the elections were rigged in Ben Ali's favor. The president then cracked down hard. He banned the Nahda, or Renaissance Party, in 1992 and jailed many of its followers, accusing them of conspiring to build a fundamentalist state. Human rights groups say there was almost no evidence of that, and confessions were gained through torture. Now, after 2 decades of outlaw status, Islamists here are euphoric at the prospect of returning to politics. The founder of al-Nahda, Sheikh Rasid Ghannouchi, got a hero's welcome from supporters at Tunis Airport this past weekend when he returned home after 2 decades in exile. Ghannouchi says his party is not a religious one, per se. We're a democratic civil party inspired by Muslim values, he says. Human rights groups, analysts, and diplomats here say his vision of political Islam is moderate and akin to Turkey's ruling AK party. Tunisia remains a largely secular society, so the idea that the Islamist party might play a significant role in political life has sparked jitters among some here. Makram Gebsi, with the Secular People's Democratic Party, says the fear is there, but he has political faith that the newly empowered Tunisian voters will not embrace political Islam in significant numbers.
We have an Islamist community. We can't deny this. It is a fact. But Tunisian people, they are very smart. And they can't accept that one day the Islamists govern this country.
Al-Nahda's leaders have yet to address, however, how they view basic issues, such as the role of Islam in law, education, and women's rights. Eric Westerveld, NPR News.